The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does settle in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposo and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I am doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. And our producer, Liam, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Of course.
So you're back from the south, are you, Terry?
I am.
Cool.
Well, actually, I've been back.
You were on assignment last week.
Yeah, oh boy.
And that's true. He was on assignment.
I was.
Typically, people say that when they're just out running around or not wanting to be here or whatever, but you were actually on assignment.
I was.
Cool.
And we are broadcasting live here at Jefferson State of Mind at KCNR, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
Living the dream.
1460 AM.
Here in California.
Your talk radio. And we're broadcasting all over the world via KCNR1460.com. And you can listen to our archives forever and ever.
And ever. Amen. They're archives.
So anyway, before we go much further here, we have a really great program for you with two wonderful guests. But before we get there, Wynn has a couple of announcements he'd like to make. So hit away, brother.
Okay. The first one is called the Sandown 2023, and it's for the veterans, for the homeless veterans, women and men that have, were active duty personnel, and their significant others are all welcome. We want everybody to come. It's going to be held on October 19th and 20th and 21st. It's called the North Valley Sandown Association. Again, October 19, 2021, and it's going to be held at the fairgrounds in Anderson, the Shasta District Fairgrounds, and we'd like to have everybody come there. Registration starts at 8 a.m. Thursday and Friday. So come check it out. There are free community services available for this event, all kinds of things listed on the flyer, so you'll have to come check it out, see what's going on there. And if you want more information, please call 530-737-8486. Again, 530-737-8486. And you can also check them out on Facebook at North Valley Stand Down Association. North Valley Stand Down Association. Then we have a second announcement, and this one is for the Reading Veterans Home, and they're doing a fundraiser at Chipotle. So 33% of the event sales get donated to the cause. And that will be happening on Wednesday, October 25th from 4 to 8 p.m. on Dana Drive. Again, Wednesday, October 25th, 4 to 8 p.m. And again, it's going to be a fundraiser for the Reading Veterans Home. And you can order them online or just order in the store. Either way you want to do it. So that will help them in that great cause.
Well, we're here this morning with a, I believe, one of the heroes of patriotism and her husband. Anyway, Patrick Henry Jones, who is the Board of Shasta County
Supervisors,
and he has had the courage to be the person who started this whole ruckus with the machines, had the courage to stand up and say, you know what, world, Shasta County ain't going to do it. We're tired of all this crap. We're tired of the government with their thumb on us, and we are going to say no.
Just doing the right thing. Just doing the right thing.
We're going to say no to anything that you do that is not constitutional. So, Patrick, my friend, and Lori, welcome.
Good morning.
And this program is going to be a bit special. We will have some people. We already have people lined up to talk to you. Patrick, I do want to ask you one question before we get started, and that is, and by the way, folks, if you have a question for Patrick, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And you know, Patrick, I've known you for a long time, but you stood up and decided, hey, I need to run for supervisor because I'm tired of all this crap and I'm ready to go ahead and fight for liberty. What was, just maybe in a sentence or two, what was it that really prompted you? I mean, you really got going on this thing.
Well, actually, it started because Starsky and Hutch reruns went off the air. And at that point, I had a lot of free time. No, I just, you know, back 20 years ago when I first ran for Reading City Council, it was because I didn't like what I saw. I saw votes that was not reflective of our community, not reflective of Reading, that I grew up here, and I've been here over 50 years. And that was the exact same thing with the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I was seeing things that were happening. And COVID really, you know, was the best and the worst thing to happen. And I say it was the best because it opened up a lot of us, a lot of our eyes, mine as well, to what happens when you allow government to go and become tyrannical and certainly overreach. And so that put me back into the fight. And because of my experience running Reading City Council and being on City Council and being mayor, I was the right person at the right time. Now, did we know it would turn into a movement that would not only spread across California and across the country? No, we didn't know that. And I was fortunate enough to have and to help two other candidates, Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom, two real good conservatives, join the Shasta County Board of Supervisors at the beginning of 2023. I became chair in that first meeting in January, and immediately they should have never done that. that was something that I'd been looking forward to for a long time. That not, I didn't necessarily think that would actually ever happen. It's not always easy to become chair, and in this particular case, everything lined up. I became chair, and I immediately started to put things on the agenda. And one of the first things was we have to do something to restore trust with the voters. And it had been a problem. I didn't know the depth of the problem at that time. If you asked me in January 2023, the beginning of this year, did I know all the issues associated with faulty elections and the problems? No, but I had enough of an idea to know that renewing a Dominion voting machine contract was going to be top on my list. I had no idea if the majority of the board was going to agree with me or not, and so that was hard fought. We prevailed on a close 3-2 vote and got rid of that contract. And that then set in a whole a series of investigations looking into Dominion and the other machines, starting to take a look at the Secretary of State's own website and their own press releases, starting to talk to lots of computer programmers, and just started to see how much fraud and how far it has gone on and how deep it was. And it's been going on for 20 years, and it has affected so many races. There are so many people in office that shouldn't be there. We have races that someone may have won and they're seated, but that may or may not be when there is manipulation from outside. And so we took that course, and now we're fighting the machine, and it's obviously an uphill battle, but it's one I think that we will ultimately win.
So we have a caller on the line, Flo from Orange County. How are you, Flo?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Do you have a question for Patrick?
Yes. Supervisor Jones, I just want to say thank you so much for all you've done. You've been a great example of leadership, and I've been trying to look for that in my county. So I'm in Orange County, and I'm with several patriots here that have been trying to get the machines out of our county. So we're actually part of the Voters' Choice Act. And so the first thing we've been trying to do is to have the board agree to opt out. So within our Voter Choice Act agreement, we have only up to like 120 days to make a change and notify the state that we're actually opting out. That's 120 days from the next election. So we're thinking we're bumping up into that deadline. And we've actually been working on this since June. And the board hasn't moved. We're thinking that there might be some death threats involved, which is why we had several supervisors that were interested that kind of just turned about face. So I had two questions. My question was, what should we do now since we're bumping up to that deadline? And the second one is, if we don't meet that deadline, what would be your advice?
Well, you have to ask yourself, if not now, when? And it's been too long already. And if you have any one of the three certified machines, which all counties do except for us, Dominion, ES&S, or HART, those machines are being manipulated each and every time, or have the possibility of being manipulated, so you do not have fair elections. And to me, your voters are being disenfranchised, and I think you just have to get that through to the public that those machines have backdoors. They can easily be manipulated each and every election, and so there is ultimately no way that we could possibly win and have rightful elections. People that do the work, that put the time in, that raise the money, that debate, they deserve to win and beat their opponent if they've outworked their opponent. And that is not what's happening across California and across the United States. And these machines have been manipulated for a long time. And every Secretary of State in the United States knows that. They're not being honest. They have spent a lot of money trying to fix this. You know, just in California in 2018, the legislature appointed or granted $443 million to try to stop the hacking and couldn't. And it continues from around the world and from within our own country. And so until we can fix this problem, and the only way to do it right now is to get rid of these machines and essentially defy the state. We know AB 969, the governor will probably sign it here shortly, but this is the time. This is the hill to die on. This is the time to push back on the state. Your county must have local control over your elections, or we are going to lose our country if we don't do this. And so now is a very important time. Your supervisor is going to have to stand tall in that gap right now. And the public has to put pressure on those supervisors to do it if they're not willing to do it and see it on their own. I needed no pressure applied to me because I could see it. I did the research. I saw it. And so I made that move. And, you know, we're lucky here in Shasta County that we have, you know, a majority of good, solid, conservative Republicans that understood what was at stake. They knew the problems. For a variety of counties here now in California, it's going to be up to the public to put pressure. And so bring groups of people, be relentless at those board meetings, and push and see what happens. And I think if you consistently do that at every meeting, relentless in the public comment time, put those back on the board in that they do not have fair elections. And nothing else matters if you don't have a fair election.
You know, I think that one of the things, too, Flo, I think that Patrick has explained before, and I want him to talk about that now. Public comment isn't the only time that you can speak at a Board of Supervisor meeting. We have regular calendar and we have consent calendar. Patrick, you want to let the folks know what their rights are on that?
Yeah, and so, you know, at every meeting, most meetings are very similar in California, and we have our public time at the beginning of the meeting. Some have it at the end. It varies from county to county. Our public time, we have 3 minutes for the public to address us on any matter within the county's jurisdiction that's not on the agenda for that day. And so you can address us at open time. You can address any of the consent items that are considered to be routine. And then you can address us on any of our regular calendar items. And before, if we have any closed session items, and we often do, you can address us on any closed session item before we go into closed session. And so there are opportunities for the public. Every item, no matter what on that agenda, the public can speak to. So if you have 30 items, literally you can speak 30 different times at that meeting if you so wish.
Pretty eye-opening when your supervisors actually give you the straight scoop, huh, Flo?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Flo. So anyway, you know, I think that brings up a good point when we talk about the different things people can do. And I know that in Los Angeles County, for example, the open comment time is at the end of the meeting, like you expressed.
Right.
And you can call in. And you can call in even after the meeting's over. And then the supervisors don't have to listen to a damn call.
Do they listen to those calls live in the meeting?
No.
So then what's the point?
Well, the point is that you would have people in there that would comment, and they'd go ahead and they just let you continue. You can call, and you can call, and you can call, and you call. There is no point. That is the point, my friend. In other words, they don't have to listen to you, but you've had your open comment time. So it's kind of a way of manipulating around the rights of the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I know in probably in the big cities it's difficult for people to be able to get there, but still I can tell you for years of experience on an elected board that nothing beats a person coming live and speaking to us. You don't have to be loud or rude or profane. In fact, all those things are usually counterproductive to getting a supervisor listening to you. Come to us with facts you know, speak from your heart. That will typically get more of a response. And you know, the board can tell when someone is just, you know, playing, you know, party politics or you know, just really being out there. And then we can see when someone's coming forward with serious information that affects the county and affects the state. And so take some time. I know it's a little bit of time to take off work, disrupt your life. But if we're going to take our country back, you have to do it at the county level. And if you haven't done it at your county, you can't expect any other county to do it for you. Right. You have to do it. So if you're listening to my voice, it's you have to get up, stop what you're doing, take a little time off work, go down and make the points that need to be made. County by county is how we're going to regain control of this country. There's no other way.
Right.
And if you can't do it in your county, then it's simply not going to get done. We have proven here in Shasta County that you can do it. Motivated people, and I mean stay-at-home moms, grandmas, business owners, you name it, they came together. They affected the change that needed to be affected. They took the time out of their lives to do it, and we're not done. And we're still moving forward here in Shasta County. We have a lot of battles ahead, and we're ready for them. So we're gearing up, and we have opposition. They're gearing up. You know, there's a lot at stake. What happens in Shasta County, I believe, will set the stage for the rest of the nation.
And also, too, when you're talking about the families, the moms and grandparents or whoever coming to the meetings, a lot of times they have children in tow. And even when we were outside, when we were locked out of the building during the smoky, hazy days of the summer of 2020, and everybody standing out there, kids were there. They were witnessing what was going on. They're seeing what's really happening. And a lot of these kids are, you know, what now they're 3 years older, and some of them were, say, preteen or teen. They're going to be voting age here pretty soon. Guess what? That's going to spread like wildfire.
Absolutely. And, in fact, if you have a leader or leaders or a small group that's in a leadership position, if you don't have the time to stay for a whole board meeting, you can assemble out front. That is a public space. Mm-hmm. You could have essentially every board meeting. You could have a rally at the beginning that lasts 30 minutes and get your point across. You can bring video equipment. You can bring speakers, and you can make your point at the front of that building. It is your building, and you have the opportunity to do that at every meeting that you wish.
There you go.
You know, that's a really great idea, too. Now, inside, a couple of questions inside that I have gotten. We have people that film the meeting inside, just independent folks, citizens. Is that allowed in – is that – within the jurisdiction of each individual board of supervisors, or is that something we have the right to do in any city or county?
Yeah, I do believe that it's you're right. It is a public meeting, and so with cell phones and whatnot, everyone is taking, you know, photographs, pictures, or videos almost during the entire meeting. Not only that, but for Shasta County, we are videotaping everything and then posting that so everyone can see the meeting as well and what occurred within the meeting. So there's going to be no secrets inside that meeting in most cases. Now, not everybody videotapes theirs, but I know a lot of counties are moving that direction. You just simply can't be disruptive. And when we have public meetings, if you're disruptive, you will be removed. That's, in essence, the law. And if you're disruptive in a variety of different ways, you can be removed. Now, we're having a little difficulty with that in Shasta County, but eventually that will get fixed as well.
You know, another question people have is that when they, and I think this was answered in you talking about the regular calendar, consent calendar, one of the things that you've done to preface this, one of the things you've done, I've noticed on our agendas here in Shasta County, is you list out exactly how the meeting works. You talk about how there's open comment, there's regular calendar, what that means, mm-hmm. consent calendar, what that means, closed session, what that means. That cover sheet is amazing. So we're going to get that out and make sure that these other counties have it. And especially you folks in L.A. County that are listening, one of the things that I know is hard for you, it's around $25 just to go to a meeting to park.
Parking is $25?
Yeah, about $25. So,
wow.
So the thing that's kind of hard is the fact that you're going to have, once you learn this stuff about these different calendar items, you can speak to those things. So you don't have to wait until public public comment. And I know one of the things, I mean, if they're talking about, you know, we need to fix a hole, you know, on Van Ness Avenue, or we need to fix a pothole. You can say, well, you know, we really want to fix that. We agree with that. But, you know, how can we trust you if we have machines that we can't rely on? So you can always go back and use use these regular calendar items to fit in exactly what you want to talk about.
Yep.
We have another caller on the line. Steve, what say you? Have a question for Patrick? Steve?
Good morning, Steve. Are you there?
Are you there?
Must not be.
Is he there, Liam?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You're up. What,
you're
you
on.
Have a question?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, big, big support for all you guys working so hard down there. We're still plugging away up here, but Patrick, you know I'm a big fan of you. How about this thing, you know, Wynn's been on it, Dr. Danuka was on it, the getting the counties, we got 23 counties supposedly back in the day. We hopefully can get all those people back because, you know, we're up against the wall. Our noses are right against the glass right now. Holding the money back from the state. I've mentioned it a few times to the board up here, but that's, you know, just me by myself. Nobody else shows up yet. But county to county, I know you guys are working hard on trying to pull the counties together. I'm trying to do the same up here. But we need to, the one way we can really put this California, this common California into submission is just hold the money back and keep our money in the counties, take care of ourselves, and dribble whatever we can to the state. But, you know, first we take care of our counties. That's just my comment, and I appreciate all your help. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. No, and he's correct in that, you know, every year that passes, we've just seen what happened this year with all the new regulations coming to California, your restrictions of your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights are at stake now, overreach from the government constantly. Every year that passes, California is passing almost, if not more, than 1,000 new laws per year. I keep hearing about people leaving left and right, and that's unfortunate because we need those fighters to stay here. But the reality is that at least in Northern California, the true north part of California, we see things very different. Rural California is not the same as the Bay Area. And we're unfortunately governed by people that are very liberal, and it does not match the people that are here. Eventually, if this state continues their overreach and their tyrannical rules, I believe the people will finally have enough, and then the state will get split. And I think, you know, every year that passes, it just makes the point that much stronger. I mean, this year alone, a bunch of new laws that are going to take a lot of freedoms and a lot of money out of your pocket. It's growing the size of government, and you're not freer for it. It's just the opposite. So soon the time will come. As you guys say every week, people will need to make a stand for this tyrannical government.
Well, we can split this state into multiple states if necessary, and that's what's probably going to happen. You know, as long as the counties are contiguous, you can band together and you can create a new state out of it. So
yeah,
that's what needs to happen.
Like Riverside, Orange, San Diego, and Ventura.
Yeah.
That all have groups now, and I know that one of the things that's been talked about a lot is the voter rolls. And I believe that we're taking the right posture here of going after the machines, et cetera, because the voter rolls in California would be a little tough when you look at 40 million people. I mean, how many voters are there? How many people die a week? How many people become voters a week? How many illegal aliens are given
the voter rolls in California are the worst.
They are.
Because of the biggest population.
Exactly. How many people leave it?
You know, how many people are leaving? How many people are turning 18? You know, how many people die? How many people move from county to county?
Exactly.
It is one big problem. Getting rid of the machines is just the first step. When you talk to guys like Jovan Pulitzer, He demonstrates a multitude of ways that cheating has been going on. And so your machines are one big area that you have to contend with, but there are other areas as well. And everything that California does is just ripe for corruption, sending out ballots to every voter, that's ripe for corruption, sending, allowing people to vote 29 days prior to the election, that's ripe for fraud. Ballot harvesting is legal in California, ripe for fraud. I mean, everything we do is against common sense, and it's unfortunate that it's happening, and there's limits as to what this county can do, but I can tell you right now, every county, the thing you can do is get rid of those machines.
Amen.
Yeah, and with that, we will be going off to our break. Before we do that, I want to give the phone number out, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, if you have a question for Patrick Henry Jones. Time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch care. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Our prices start at just $25 per eighth. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
You know, that was really good. Wynn, have you ever seen the movie Hitch?
Hitch. No, I don't think I have.
It's a pretty funny movie. And there's a guy who dances in that movie just like you.
No, you mean he dances just like you.
No. No, I dance like Will Smith. I keep it together just in one little spot.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, right.
You know, I don't do the Q-tip. Throw it away. Anyway, yeah. Just saying. Okay, back to reality. Welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind. If you have a question or a comment for Patrick Henry Jones, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Patrick, on this homeless issue, you had a discussion with Mary Rickert during the last meeting about that and how money can just be spent on things and then not being used for the proper thing. Can you go ahead? Because that's going to be something that a lot of people in a lot of counties can relate to. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the homeless issue here is becoming to be a large problem, and I know it's a much bigger problem in other areas. We want to try to attack this before it really gets out of control. Some would say we're already there. Every other week I am meeting on an ad hoc committee with representatives from our local cities, including the city of Reading. Supervisor Cry is on that committee with me. We're in constant talks with the city. We're taking a look at some of our programs, what we're doing. We have 100 programs, and I doubt anybody can recite all of them or remember all of them and the terms and the conditions of those. We need to take a look. We are looking right now at what we're doing, how we're doing it, is it effective, and what can we do better, because clearly what we're doing isn't working. And
Who's funding these 100
so this programs? This is mostly all state of California and lots of programs. And we have 100 people in health and human, or excuse me, 1,000 people in health and human services. It's half of our $668 million budget goes to this. So wow. The money is certainly there, but how we're spending it and is it working? Are we holding people accountable? Do we have tangible results? And those are the things we're trying. Now, what I will say is at least the communication today with the county and the city of Reading, Anderson, and Shasta Lake is a good thing. When we're communicating and being able to talk openly about some of these programs, I think we're moving forward. And Supervisor Cry is pushing very hard. He's ruffling some feathers, but I think that's a good thing, and moving things forward. A lot of programs, and I got into it this last week with Supervisor Rickert, when we talk about a particular program, I remember it one way. Supervisor Rickert remembered it a very different way. And so let's talk about two different programs. They're both failed programs. So first, Project Home Key. So Donnell Ewert, who heads that up for the county before he resigned, he went, and this Project Room Key is to buy houses. A home key, excuse me, is to buy homes in residential neighborhoods and put homeless in them. Now, how do you think that's going to make you feel as a neighbor across the street or next door? It's probably not a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. People aren't going to like that. So he goes to the city of Reading and asks, hey, we need to buy a home or two here in the city of Reading, or maybe more. The city of Reading told him no in absolute terms, and the city already has their own housing program, and they have their ideas as to how to solve some of these problems. So now he's got this funding, mind you. City of Reading has said no. So he buys a house in Anderson and four homes in my district in Shasta Lake City, hides it on a consent calendar. Nobody even knows about it. And this is just slightly like a month before I was elected.
How is it hidden on the consent calendar?
It's there in the consent, but when you hide it on page 32, most of the supervisors are not going to catch it.
It's routine.
And so consent items are considered to be routine and or do not need any more scrutinizing. And so he hit it. It wasn't on a regular calendar where it was going to be fully discussed in the public. Gotcha. And so he knew exactly what he was doing. The board passed it. Supervisor Rickert passed it without really knowing what was happening. Now, the first people that went into the homes in Shasta Lake City, immediate calls for service because the sheriff had to be called for drug activity, various other things. And when the city manager of Shasta Lake City found out about that, not very happy that this was going on and they had no knowledge. Now, whether the program was a good program or not, what Donnell did was he misled the board, and not only has he done it on that program, but now we find out later on Project Room Key, he misled the board there. And this is where we buy passes for homeless to go to a motel room. What he wasn't telling us, because there was very little oversight, that they were trashing those rooms and racked up $4 million in damage.
And who pays that?
You do. And so we found that out later on after he resigned that this program was a miserable program and is racking up millions of dollars of cost to us here in a small county. And they never want to talk about that wasted $4 million. But again, insubordination from Donnell Ewert. And then he wants to be appointed on, a small mosquito vector control board. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. This guy misled the board. I'm certainly not going to put him on a mosquito board so he can mislead me more.
Right.
And that was was what was happening this week on one particular item. And I'm glad it turned out the way that it did. We put a community member on, John Knight. John will do a good job. He has an interest in this area, and John is very honest, and above anything else, that's very important to me, because yeah, we've seen what happens with county bureaucrats not being honest. And then Supervisor Rickert trying to cover for this county worker, trying to cover for these failed programs and for the insubordination by misleading the board, and worse than that, misleading our residents. Ultimately, right, we're misleading the people. They didn't know what was going on. They should have been fully aware, and if they were, they'd have been like the city of Reading and said no. But instead, they're there. And then to make matters worse, they expanded Project Home Key another $1 million because it was such a great idea. You know, and this is government moving, to, you know, when you have a failed program, you don't continue doing the failed program. You admit it, and then you move on to something different so that you don't continue to make the same mistake.
Well, so none of the neighbors were notified prior to the acquisition of the properties.
No. And then on a bigger picture, wow, when you take a look at funding, we have almost half the homeless for the entire nation. So clearly,
in the state
of California has almost half of the homeless for the entire country. So clearly, what we're doing, whether bureaucrats like to admit it or not, is you're attracting
and enabling
the very behavior you say you want to get rid of.
Right.
And so your programs across the board, across every county, are failing. And we're putting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to it. I would say billions of dollars to
it,
billions,
yeah,
and you're getting more of what you don't want. I tell people this story all the time. When I was a kid, me and my buddies, we'd ride our bikes down. We have our air guns on our bikes, and we'd ride down to the Cypress Street Bridge at 2 a.m. and shoot pigeons underneath. And I did that routinely, and I shot a lot of pigeons.
That's terrible.
And you know, pigeons were kind of my thing, and my friend Dave and Joe, we got pretty good at it. One day, we start at the east side of the bridge, and we work our way down to the west, and just before sunup, we come home. But one day, we see movement down in the bushes, and Joe yells out, "Hey, it's a bum," and it was a bum. And now we were under there all the time. We'd never seen anybody, and we're under there all the time. And so we come home, we call our parents, they call the police department, and say, "Hey, there's a bum down there." Today, under that bridge and many of the other bridges, you would not send a 10 or 12-year-old kid at 2 in the morning under such bridges. So what's happened over the last 45 years? How did it get from that to what we are here today?
Yeah.
Right? And it's these liberal policies by these Democrats that have been stacking up for decades to the point where we're not holding people accountable. Anything that feels good is good, and you can do it.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of work to do to bring our cities and our counties back so our children can walk across the county without feeling in danger. And we are losing control every year of that because we're not taking a strong enough stand. It's up to the counties now. You can't have leadership. There's no leadership in Sacramento. It's up to the counties to take this control back.
Well, we have a lot of people that, you know, when we're hiring people to work at the county, especially some of the past boards of supervisors and past councils and even present probably in the city of Reading, we hire a lot of people that do different jobs. They make a lot of money. And they have these programs that they put forward for some sort of political agenda, and it just keeps happening. You made a really good point about, especially the elected officials, it seems as if we don't have any choice over a lot of these people that are appointed. So that leads me to a question that I got, and the question is, what is the supervisor's jurisdiction over the ROV office and over the county clerk, number one? Two, Shasta County elects their county clerk. They elect it. I know in Orange County they appoint theirs, which means the jurisdiction would be of the supervisors to hire and fire that position. But in the counties that elect those positions, what jurisdiction do you have, and how can you fight someone who's corrupt?
So, you know, for here in Shasta County, we're a general law county. We are possibly considering going to a charter county. That'll be by a vote of the people. And the main reason for going to a charter here is to stop the governor from making appointments and to allow the board to do that, to have local control. And that is the main reason for the charter. The ROV is an elected position, just like the sheriff or the DA. However, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, we do control the budgets for all of those agencies, including the ROV, that's the Register of Voters, and we also supervise the ROV's office. Now, we do not run
the... What does that mean?
So, we supervise contracts and various functions related to those things. What we don't do is have the day-to-day operations, how to run the office, that is the jurisdiction with the ROV. But, for example, when we got rid of the Dominion voting machine contract, we also created the voter system, if you will, for those people with handicaps. That was by our authority, and then we put the money to it to purchase that equipment for voters with handicap. That was not the jurisdiction of the ROV, but that's Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We recently here, and I think we're only the second county, and I would encourage all counties to do this, is to set up a citizens, an election committee. And I think that is a great thing, Section 25, I think, 201.
Yes.
And start taking a more active role with the public taking a look at specific things and having eyes on. And, you know, for here in Shasta County, when we ask, for example, these petitions with Supervisor Cry for the recall of Supervisor Cry, we've had people that asked, we'd like to observe that process. And there was no response. They were not allowed to observe that process. Now, it's not illegal. There's no law that says the public has the right to observe that. But wouldn't it be the right thing to do?
Yes.
in being open and transparent?
Yes.
And because that was not allowed, now it casts a shadow over that process, because it would have been easy to allow people to observe, but those folks were not allowed to do so, and that's what really prompted me to move forward with the Citizens Election Committee. They'll have the authority now. They are election officials, and they'll be able to inspect a variety of different things under the election code, and I think that's going to be very important to hold your ROV accountable, and also it's open and transparent. I think if we're going to restore trust with the voters, these are the kinds of things that need to be done.
So are those people already in place, or has that yet to be done?
Yeah, so that was two meetings ago we created that. The last meeting, we each board member picked a person to be on the election committee.
From your respective districts?
Then. No, it was just at countywide.
Oh.
And so we have Suzanne Barrymore is on there. Don Duckett. Don Duckett is on there. Some true conservatives there. Mm-hmm. And then we have Bev Gray. We have Lisa Mashad, Dr. Mashad. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Running Lun.
Okay.
And so these ladies will be opening that in public meetings here shortly, I look forward to some good things with them. I think they'll do the work.
I have a question on that. As far as the Brown Act is concerned, are they subject to the Brown Act? And if they are subject to the Brown Act, in what way?
So it's no different than any of the other committees, and we have lots of committees here within the county, as most cities do and most counties do. And so they are subject to the Brown Act, so it means that that agenda will be posted, and it'll be at a place where the public can come and view. And then you can address, there'll be open time, and you can address any item on that agenda, just the same as the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. If this committee so decides to create an ad hoc committee for something specific, that then is not subject to the Brown Act.
Okay.
The at-home committee that I am on is an ad hoc committee. It is not subject to the Brown Act. And
now, one more question on the Brown Act. Does that have anything to do with those five people all getting together away from anywhere, or are they subject to the Brown Act the same way the supervisors are?
Correct.
You can't have more than two together.
Correct. And okay. So they can be all together at a function as long as nothing within their realm is discussed, which would be elections. The same with the Board of Supervisors. We could all be at the State of the City address, if you wish, as long as nothing is being discussed about the county. To err on the side of caution, it's typically best that only two members of an elected body are at one location, but sometimes that's not always the case. But again, as long as business is not being discussed, it is permissible.
Okay. Now, I know that way back when Rick Bassetti proposed having the city clerk be an appointed position. And,
yeah, and I was against that.
Yes.
And in fact, if anything, I'm against reducing the number of elections. I would rather increase the number of elections. Like, for example, the coroner. We have a coroner sheriff. That was once an elected position. I'd like to see it back as an elected position. I want the public to have the opportunity to vote in these people. I do not like the idea of any of those being appointed. And, you know, as the chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, would I like to appoint some people? Sure, but it isn't the right way to do it. The right way is those people, they're going to be candidates. They have to run races. They have to appeal to the public, and in an fair election, the right person would win. And that's my goal: is let's make sure we have fair elections so that the right people rightfully are elected.
In a charter county, what are, say, three advantages of a charter county? That was another question I had been asked. Three advantages of a charter county over a general county.
Well, the number one issue, and there probably is going to be maybe two or three issues as we move forward with the possibility of a charter for the public to vote on. But the number one thing for me is more local control for the county, specifically with the appointments. For example, if a board of supervisor was to retire or pass away, the governor gets to appoint. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. No. And so it brings more control. That, to me, is the main issue. And we'll ultimately see, you know, what this charter looks like. And some charters are just one issue. And other charters, I think there are 14 charter counties in Shasta, or in California. And we, next to Shasta County, we do have Tama County that is a charter. And I think if you put a lot of things on a charter, then it becomes much more controversial and much harder for the public to get behind to pass. If you put like 6 or 7 or 10 things on there, keep it very simple. Try to gain as much control locally, because we're certainly seeing the overreach now from the state.
Man.
It's coming at every angle. Everything we seem to be doing here in Shasta County, the state is going around us by state law and define what the local people want.
Can the state prevent the county from becoming a charter county?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not yet.
After we start, then, yeah, okay.
I talked to Kevin a couple of times yesterday, and he's still down at the Republican convention down in Anaheim. And when we were talking about some of these different things, I asked him about the local government, if there was talk with the Republican Party on local government. He said in sidebars only, a lot of it because Trump's there. Okay, right. So that's going to be your main attention. And apparently they're going to be passing some things today, voting on some things today. The one thing they did agree on is that it has to be same-sex marriage. That was the one thing that came out of this. And apparently there's a lot of people down there. Now, in talking about that and talking about what they're doing and talking about California law, there's an ordinance that Shasta County is looking at putting together and passing. Can you tell the folks about that?
So the ordinance that'll be on the next agenda is mainly referring to the elections, and so there is an ordinance on for next Tuesday, and it's just to codify and to put into law our election committee. And that's basically what it is, to make sure that we have the legal opportunity to appoint judges and inspectors at times when we think it's necessary. And it's all part of the election code. And I know, you know, I introduced this with you know, obviously help from, I've been meeting for, I don't know, the last 6 months or a year with folks here in Redding, and in Shasta County, with regards to election materials and election ideas. And so there's been a lot of people that have been very active behind the scenes with regards to, what's happening here in Shasta County with regards to the election. And so with help from them, we have crafted this, ordinance. And, county staff at this point, they're resisting a little bit, and so they push back on the form, and so they're not supportive of it, on the form, and I guess we'll get into it on Tuesday a little bit to that, but I think fundamentally it's quite sound, and I think it'll just codify into law having an election committee.
Okay.
Can you offer any advice to folks who have a board maybe that doesn't want to do anything they want them to do? Can you offer any advice on where you think that the pushing needs to be and the pushback really needs to be by the folks?
Well, yeah, you know, every county is a little different. And, you know, I'm really proud here in Shasta County. I'm proud to be the chair this year. I'm proud of the changes and the progress and the work that we've been able to do this year. And we've been able to do that because I think we have a good, obviously, the majority of the board is a very good board with Supervisor Cry and Supervisor Kellstrom. We have a new CEO that's got plenty of experience, Dave Rickert. We have good support services. We have good health and human service director. We have good auditor controller. So we have some good people in place that are really passionate about Shasta County and making it better here. And so your county government is only as good as the people that are there. And we've had some changes, and I think they're very much needed changes. For example, when I first got on the board, we had CEO Matt Pontus. And I had one meeting with him when I was first elected. I believe that was January of 2021. And over the course of the next year and a half, that was the only meeting I ever had with him. He was totally disconnected to me and probably other supervisors. And in our first meeting, when I had that meeting with him, one of the things that I said that I was very passionate about is how I'm going to judge a CEO is how well they keep us informed. Because when I'm informed, my district's informed, and that's good for my district, that's good for the county. And in this particular case, under the leadership of Matt Pontus, there was little to zero of that. And so that was that.
Is this even after you were chairman?
No,
before you were chairman.
Correct. And so I knew something was wrong. This was not the normal behavior that you would see from the leader of your county, the top executive officer. I knew something was wrong, and ultimately we found out what was wrong, and that person did resign, allowing us to get to a new CEO that is here, that loves Shasta County, and wants to see it thrive, and he's keeping the board informed, and so I'm very happy about that, and it's a night and day difference from what we had to what we have today. And, you know, eventually we have new deputy CEO, and eventually we'll have, I would imagine, a new assistant CEO, because I'm not sure where that individual is right now. But eventually...
That is a little strange. He's sort of been missing in action here for a while. Is he still
in
the county? Or?
I don't know where he's at, what he's doing.
Is he getting paid?
I do not know that either.
You don't know if he's getting paid or not.
But eventually that position will most likely be stable, and we'll have and our CEO will pick that person, and I'm sure that will be a great assistance to the CEO and allow the government to run smooth. A lot of people, as you know, in the boardrooms the last few meetings, people have been yelling pretty good, and it's really in my opinion, a group of liberal people that simply do not like a more conservative government. And to be honest, this government has been led by liberal decisions for a long time. And now we have a conservative board. And we're not bashful about it. We're proud of it. We like what we do. We believe in what we're doing. And I believe the vast majority of the public here in Shasta County will back us up. I'm running for re-election. And, in fact, I have my next fundraiser November 18th. Doors open at 4 o'clock at the Anderson VFW. We got lots of great prizes, lots of guns, lots of gun giveaways, and a great live auction. And encourage people to come out for that if they want to come and buy tickets or donate to that. You can give me a call directly, 530 530- 888-222-3223. And as people know, you can most of the time, 6 days a week, often outside of being in meetings, you can find me at 1600 East Cypress at Jones's Fort. That is where my office is. I don't use my downtown office other than for certain related things. I find myself much more available and open to the public at my 1600 East Cypress office. And so that makes me very available. Most people know where to find me.
Do you have a website?
Yes. It's www.jones4boardofsupervisorsdistrict, so just D-I-S-T, okay. 4, the number 4, .com. So Jones4boardofsupervisorsdistrict, D-I-S-T only, 4.
And this is a very serious race coming up, and this is a March 4th primary, so we only have 5 months away, roughly, and I want to get reelected, and we'll work very hard to be able to do that. We'd love to see Kevin Cry remain in office, and so there'll be lots of effort put on that. And, of course, right across from me, Wynn Carpenter is a candidate for District 3, and he is going to do great there and represent that district. And so looking forward to this year and what's coming for Shasta County.
Well, I can hear the music in the background, so that means thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We have no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.